just to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way and bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You are near. Draw me close to you.
Draw me close to you.
Never let me go. I lay it all down again. Hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire.
You are my desire.
No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth. Help me find a way, bring me back to you.
You're
all I want.
You're all I want.
You're all I want.
Thank you, Jesus. While you're on your feet, give the opportunity to greet those around about you. Shake their hand. Tell them you're happy to see them here in the house of the Lord. There'll be a usher at the back with the offering plate if you'd like to give. God bless you for being here tonight.
Where the streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Give me blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
Should be blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Those pain in the offering. Blessed be your name.
Oh yes.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. The name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Give and take away, you give and take away. A heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away.
Bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. I want to remind you this coming Sunday is our All Nations Sunday, where we celebrate different nations of the world. And I think I look back, we have somewhere near about seven different people that are representing different countries. And so we'll take time out during the service, be a part of the service actually. Then we will celebrate multicultural ministries, and then after service downstairs there'll be opportunity for you to sample some cuisine Look at some of the displays, some of the areas that are being represented. And so we thank you for your participation in this. Looking forward to having a great time together, opportunity of fellowship. And then Sunday night, if you are head of a department, we need you here for our department heads meeting Sunday night at 6 o'clock. My wife has already sent out the text or email, whatever it is, and letting you know what we need from you and what the church will provide. So if you're head of department, please be reminded that we need you here. There will be no other activities here at the church on Sunday night. And so not that we're giving you a night off. It's just that if you're not head of a department, well, then you kind of do have a night off. But we're still having something here. It's just for the department heads. And then the following week, we will continue in our understanding the end time. The next lesson is talking about Israel, God's given destiny for Israel. And I enjoyed last Sunday night, we talked about World War III and the entrance of the Antichrist and how we can see that unfolding in Scripture. And so I'm looking forward to the next lesson talking about Israel and God's given destiny for them. And so we encourage you to be a part of that. And then the 31st, October 31st, we have a harvest party here at the church from 5 to 7 p.m. This is when we open the doors, have the community come. We have somewhere able to bring 300, 400 people that come through the doors that we give out little bags of candy with church information on it. And so we need from you bags of individually wrapped candy that we can put in the little package to give to those that come through. There will also be a black light presentation happening here in the auditorium probably every 20 minutes or so. And then there will be soup and light refreshments downstairs, coffee, hot chocolate, that sort of stuff. If you would like to help us and we need your help, there are sign-up sheets at the back where you can sign up to bring soup, you can sign up to help, you can sign up to serve drinks, you can sign up to help us with trash. But we need all hands on deck, if you will, to help us pull off a great event like this. And so that is happening on the 31st. And then we will not have a midweek service on the 1st of November because we will be doing all of our focus on the 31st, having the harvest party then. So those are just a few things by way of announcement. We are continuing in our study tonight in enjoying the journey, a real invitation to real relationship with God. Last week, we talked a little bit about how that we as individuals can, and youth, you may go, I'm sorry, I didn't miss you, but you can make your way to the upper room. Last Wednesday, we talked about how that we can, on a daily basis, interacting with creation, interacting with all that God has provided for us, that we can understand more about God, the way He works. We kind of ended along this line. We don't just stop and smell the roses, but we admire the beauty of the rose, the color of the rose, the smell of the rose. And I'm not talking about worshiping nature. I am talking about worshiping the God who created nature. And that as we interact with nature, as we interact with things, everything that we come in contact with has its origin in creation. And so how that we can use that and understand that we can deepen our relationship with God as we have more of a God sense. The title of the lesson was Having the God Sense, and how that we are to instruct our children, we're to teach those around about us that we can have more of that God sense, because as we know, this world is trying to get us away or get society away from any sense of godliness, any sense of there being a supreme being, any sense of there being a God. I'm reading a book called, and I know I say that all the time, my wife tells me, you always say you're always reading a book, and I read a lot of books, one of the books that I'm reading is called The Long War Against God, and it's talking about how these theories that have come, and they've been a part of intellectualism, are humanist in nature, they're atheist in nature, they are trying to educate society out of a belief in God. Essentially, as you understand the root of it, you understand that's exactly what's happening. So it is incumbent upon us as Bible believers, as Christians, that we do our very best to reconnect to our Creator. To not worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. That was a scripture we focused upon last week. That we are to do our very best to reconnect, to notice more of God in everything that we do and everything that we interact with, to teach our children The Bible instructs and rising up, and when we let, and I made this statement. One of the reasons that I pray with my kids on a nightly basis, it's not just out of ritual or routine. It's out of an understanding that I've got to instill in them a God sense. They understand there is a God. There is one who we pray to and who we serve and who we consider to be our Lord and Savior. And it's our hope is not in this world. Our hope is not in the things of this world. Our hope is in God. And so I'm not going to reteach the lesson, but that's kind of what we talked about last week. And so we are continuing in the study tonight, an invitation to real relationship with God. I want to draw your attention to this passage of Scripture. It's found in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, this is after the resurrection, before the ascension. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Joseph, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Saith unto him, feed my sheep. Saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. There are some that stayed, and I've read commentaries to the effect that the reason why Jesus asked him the same question three times is that it was where Peter had publicly denied Jesus three times, it was almost as if Jesus was asking him to publicly identify with him three times. And he asked him the same question three times, lovest thou me? Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus says this, well then, feed my sheep. In other words, Peter, how I'll know that you love me, the way that you will know that you love me is that you will feed my sheep. This is interesting because at this point in time, after the resurrection, is as if Peter was going to go back to being the same old Peter. He was going to go back to fishing. Matter of fact, he looked at the other disciples and he said, I go fishing. There's a lot of people like that. Man, I love Brother Simon Peter. I go fishing. That's a scripture for me. I go a fishing, Pastor. Or I go a hunting, or I go a golfing, or I go a whatever. And it's almost as if Jesus was trying to get Peter to understand, I made you a fisher of men. I called you from that life. I called you from being a fisherman to fish for men. And so if you truly love me, Peter, if you truly want to identify me and you truly want to have relationship with me, Peter, then you've got to feed my sheep. You've got to stop this I go a fishing and be a shepherd. You have got to feed the sheep. And so with the help of the Lord, I want to talk to you upon this subject tonight. Turning outward. An invitation to serve beyond ourselves. Turning outward. It's as if Peter decided he would just go back to doing what was comfortable, what was he was used to doing, go back to a life of being upon the sea and catching fish. Jesus said, Peter, if you love me, you've got to feed my sheep. You've got to serve beyond yourself. You have got, and I believe that in our walk and relationship with God, we have got to get to the point where we turn outward. Because so much of what we do, and it's unfortunate, but so much of what we do is ministry for ourselves. It's time in the altar for us. It's coming back to God because we messed up. We made a mistake. And we're all about maintaining our walk and relationship with God when we need to understand that when we minister, our walk and relationship with God will increase. I didn't get too many amens, but just stay with me. Here's what we want to talk about. Here's kind of the focus for tonight. Living outward is a result of focusing upward. We're going to go into that in detail. If I am going to truly live outward, then my focus has to be upward. My focus can't be on this life. My focus can't be on attaining a certain status or having certain achievements. I truly have to direct my attention. I have to, as the Bible says, set my affection upon things above. I've got to focus upward. And how I am going to live outward, how I'm going to start turning outward and really minister to other people and really feed the sheep and really do what causes me to understand more than anything else, my love and affection for the things of God. If I am going to feed the sheep, I've got to turn outward. And the only way that I'm truly going to turn outward in ministry is by directing my focus upward. Living outward is a result of focusing upward. The next thing we're going to talk about is meaning, self-worth, and a deep sense of belonging result not from what we take in, but rather from what we give out. That's huge. Meaning. Having meaning in life. Having a sense of self-worth. Having a deep sense of belonging. I do not have those things, and I do not acquire those things by what I'm able to get. I do not acquire those things by what I take in. The affirmation that I get from others, the numbers in my bank account, those things do not give me meaning and self-worth and a deep sense of belonging. That comes by what I give out, not by what I take in. And finally, we are rarely, if ever, more intimately connected to our Savior than we are than when we are giving of ourselves to others. Are rarely, if ever, more intimately connected to our Savior than when we are giving of ourselves to others. So let's launch out. Let's talk about what, let's have some quotes, if you will, before we talk. No one is useless in this world who lightens the burdens of others. The main impediment to living a life of meaning is being self-absorbed. No one is useless in this world who lightens the burdens of others. In other words, they have a sense of worth. They have a sense of belonging. They have a sense of self when they are helping someone else. The main impediment, the greatest obstacle, you might say, to living a life of meaning is being self-absorbed. And unfortunately, we live in a society that is increasingly self-absorbed. All about me. What's in it for me? How does it benefit me? How is this going to help me? And I know we're quiet because we know that's the reality of the world in which we live. And so we as Christians have to endeavor to lead our lives in such a way that it is different. We are not like that. That we are not so self-absorbed that we don't really have meaning, or we don't feel like we have a close walk and relationship with God because we're just maintaining. Here's the problem. We have a lot of inward focus. We have a lot of looking after our own things and worrying about our own stuff. And there's something to be said for that to some degree, certainly. It's not that you don't worry about anything that is yours. It's not that you don't take time to look over your own things. That's not what the Bible tells us to do, but the Bible gives us some instructions. But here's the problem. Often our eyes are so securely fastened on our own needs that we are blind to the needs of those around us. I made this statement before. I'll continue to say it again. We are so internally focused. We are so focused about ourselves and our lives and achieving and getting this or acquiring that, or it's almost to the sense where we really have become blinded to the needs of others because we are too busy recognizing our own needs. We're too busy looking at ourselves and what we want and what we desire and how this affects me or how this is playing into my plan and into my grand scheme, into what I want to have happen in my life. Become so self-absorbed. And it is truly an impediment. It is truly a great obstacle for us in
truly living life. Life as God intended us to lead. A life that is not about us, but it is about others. If ever there was one who lived a life that was all about everybody else, it was none other than Jesus Christ. He lived a life that was the absolute epitome of giving of himself for others. He went about doing good. He wasn't in it for himself, though he could have. Think about it. Though he could have. And I guarantee you, in the psyche of the man, some of the suffering that went on is having the ability and the availability to relieve yourself of some of the pain and the suffering and to have anything that you could want or desire. Yet, restraining. Giving of yourself for others. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. If there be therefore any consolation of Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Paul writing, church, Philippian churches, letting them know, if you really want to have consolation in Christ, if you really want to have joy that is fulfilled, if you really want to understand the love of Christ, if you truly want to know Him intimately and you want to have a relationship with Him, it's not going to be about looking on your own things. It's not going to be about looking after your own life and what you want and what you desire, but it's going to be about looking on the things of others. If you're going to have consolation in Christ, if you're truly going to know joy in the journey, if I'm truly going to enjoy my walk in relationship with God, and many times when we look back over the life, our lives, and we introspectively look at ourselves, we can determine some of the lowest times in our walk in relationship with God is when we were all internally focused. When it was all about me and maybe what I was going through and what I was dealing with, and it was all about me. We're so internally focused. Because here's the thing. Inward focus asks these questions. Why me? Or why not me? Why me, God? Why am I dealing with this? Why am I going through this? Why has this situation happened in my life? Why me, God? Why am I here? Why? What's going on? Why me, God? Or if we look at someone else and their blessings and the good things that have happened in their life and we say, well, why not me? Why don't I have that? Why is that not in my life? Why don't I own that kind of car or live in that kind of house? Or why don't I have that kind of privilege? Internal focus asks, it really comes down to two questions. It's either why me or why not me? Why am I dealing? Why am I going there? Nobody else has to deal with what I have to deal with. Lord, why is this? Why are you allowing this thorn in my flesh? And why am I experiencing all this? We're looking at someone else who doesn't seem like they have anything to worry about and thinking, well, why not me? That's internal focus. You see, we want outward. We want to turn outward. We want to learn how to stop internally focusing all the time. We want to learn to stop asking those kind of questions. Because upward focus does not ask, why did this happen to me? Or why am I going through this? But rather ask, how can this be used to minister to someone else? How can what I've gone through, How can what I'm dealing with, or how can this situation or this circumstance, how can this trial, how can this affliction, how can this thing that I'm going through, how can it be used to minister to someone else? The upward focus says, God, you have a greater plan than I do. God, you know me better than I know myself. And you know in this situation that I'm in and that I'm experiencing, you've allowed it in my life. And so there has to be a greater reason. And so instead of asking why me, or why am I going through this? I'm going to look heavenward and say, Lord, how can this be used to minister to someone else? We've talked about it. We all have deficiencies. We all have imperfections. We all have challenges. We all have things that we have to endure and things that we have to go through. We all experience trouble. But instead of internally focusing and wondering, why am I going through this, or why am I dealing with this, why can we not look heavenward and say, Lord, how can you use this? How can me going through this situation and dealing with this circumstance, how can it be used in your great plan to reach someone else? How can it be used so that your plan is fulfilled? And so that your purpose is more important than what I think things should be, or how things should work out, or how things should be in my life. Lord, I look heavenward with an upward focus that you and your thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts. And the way you do things far exceeds the way I could do anything. And so, Lord, with an upward focus, I ask you, how can this be used to help someone else. How can I? We are made overcomers, the Bible says, by the blood and the word of our testimony. So Lord, help me. Help me to understand how this can be used for someone else. Lord, I'm not praying for you to take me out of this situation. I'm not praying for you to alleviate me in this situation. That's internal focus. I want outward focus. I want to turn this thing outward. And I want to say, Lord, how can it be used for your glory? How can me going through this give you honor? How can me in this situation, Lord, be used for you? That's upward focus. Upward focus occurs when we concentrate on how to use the challenges we face to come alongside and help imperfect others. We're a community of imperfect people. None of us have it all together. We all have issues. We've talked about it at length. We all have deficiencies. And one of the ways that God helps me deal with the deficiencies in my life is me helping other people deal with the deficiencies in their life. One of the ways that God ministers to me in my affliction is helping others in their affliction. That's how I am ministered unto. And I want to have an upward focus. It says, Lord, I'm not worried about me in this sense. And I'm trying to take the focus off me and what I'm going through. And I want to find someone else that I can minister to in the midst of this circumstance. Someone that I can come alongside with and help. Someone, because I believe this. I believe sometimes God allows us to go through stuff, hoping that we will empathize with others. Giving us the opportunity to shift our focus and take our eyes off of ourselves, to somehow take our focus off of ourselves and see someone else. And see the need of someone so we can be like him. Realize that the final words of Jesus while he hung upon the cross, they were not thoughts for himself. Down, one of the disciples and said, "Behold thy mother." In other words, take care of her. While he was hanging on the cross and suffering and dying, he was not concerned with himself. He was concerned with his mother. And he looked down and said, "Behold thy mother." In other words, take care of her. What an example. Having no internal focus at all, but having external focus, turning it outward. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying this is that the suffering he saw on the face of his mother hurt him more than his own suffering. God, do you understand that his focus, the suffering that he saw on his mother as she beheld him, he saw in her eyes such pain and suffering. He didn't have any internal focus. He wasn't where he wouldn't even take the substance that would have deadened some of the pain. He looked instead at her, more concerned with her suffering, more concerned with her pain. Let me tell you, one of the ways that you can know that you're growing in an intimate relationship with God is when the sufferings of others exceed those of your own. In other words, where you're looking more about their needs. I'm not saying you're not suffering. I'm not saying you're not dealing with a situation. I'm not saying you're not going through circumstance. But what I'm saying is that when you have an intimate connection relationship with God, your suffering and what you're going through, it pales in comparison to what you see in the heart and the lives of other people. Part of that God sense. It's a part of that understanding. There are people with needs that so far exceed my own. Upward focus means our attention no longer lingers on our own challenges and or afflictions. I'm not focusing on me and what I'm going through anymore. I spent some time focusing upward and now I'm turning outward to help other people. I'm turning outward to walk alongside other imperfect people to help them deal with their deficiencies. And they help me deal with my deficiencies. What about meaning, self-worth, deep sense of belonging? The deception is that we acquire these things by what we get. But the truth is we acquire these things by what we give. If these things come by what we get, then why do we have celebrities and people that seem to have it all together? Seem to have stuff money could buy, have notoriety, have celebrity status, but why do we find that they're committing suicide? Why do we find that they have, I heard something the other day, and it was an interview with a great basketball star by the name of, many of you probably recognize the name, Kobe Bryant. And in an interview, they asked him about deep meaning and relationships in his life, and he said, I really don't have many. Not understand what the world they seek to acquire and they try to get to give them meaning, to make them have some sense of self-worth, to have a deep sense of belonging. And these guys that have already been down that road, and these guys that have all this stuff and acquired all these things and they have success, and they can honestly say, I don't have much meaning, I don't have much self-worth, I don't have a deep sense of belonging. Deception is that we somehow acquire all those things by what we get. That if I have the latest and greatest, it'll. And we understand. We experience this. We live in a consumer society. We want the latest and greatest, but we know how fleeting it is. We have something that makes us feel good for a while. Then before long, it just doesn't have the same luster anymore. It doesn't really give us true meaning. It's just a facade. It's just a fake. It's not really what we know gives us self-worth or a deep sense of belonging. Some of the greatest validation comes by validating others. Some of the greatest validation you will ever have in your life will come by you validating other people. By you giving of yourself. I focus upward. This causes me to give outward, and the result is I find meaning inward. Think about it. Focus upward. And then I give outward. I live out, turning outward. I'm allowing my focus, God, to have me to minister, participate, to be actively involved in helping other people. And as a result of that outward involvement, I now have inward meaning. It's a question. What makes you feel alive? What is it that really, some might say, makes you tick? What is it that in your life you experience or you have? Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's something that you enjoy doing, and you feel alive when you're doing it. You feel like this is great. This is awesome. This and I'm not. This is not a setup. Okay. All right. I'm not teeing it up. It's an honest question. What makes you feel alive? What is it that you do? I'm not asking you to be uber spiritual. I'm asking you an honest question. What makes you feel alive? What gives you a sense of belonging? What activities are you involved in that you just love to do? And you there's just a, and it's okay. It's all right to have hobbies. It's okay to have stuff that you like to do and be a part of. God doesn't expect any of us to live boring, unfulfilled lives. It's okay to have things which give us a sense of breathing, alive when I'm doing this. So what makes you feel alive? How can it be used to positively impact someone else? Okay, if this makes me feel alive, well then how can I use it to positively impact someone else? How can I do it in such a way that it's not about me, it's not internally focused, though I enjoy it and I participate in it, but how can I use those things that I enjoy and those things in this journey of life that maybe have become hobbies or things that I enjoy doing, and how can I use these things to positively impact someone else? That's an upward focus that causes me to do things outward. It causes me to look on the needs of others. What can I do that would help make someone else feel alive? What could I participate in and come alongside someone else? And together we could make connection, and together we could feel alive. Anybody think of a time when someone's passion for something caused you to be interested? Someone was so excited and they talked about this and it just, even though before maybe you didn't even think about it, but the more they talked about it and the more they built it up to you and the more they talked about their experiences, the more you thought to yourself, man, that sounds interesting. I think I'd like to do that. I think I'd like to be involved in that. It's that passion, it's that desire that could kind of compel someone else. And what's wrong? Let me ask you this. What's wrong in taking someone, and maybe it's a young person, or maybe it's someone else that you know is struggling, or someone else that your upward focus has caused you to look on their need, and you realize they need some connection in their life? What's wrong? Men, if your hobby is turning wrenches, what's wrong with getting together with another guy and saying, hey, can you help me, and let's get together and work on this? What's wrong? Ladies, if you're into crafts and you're into scrapbooking, what's wrong with bringing someone alongside and having a passion of, and getting them interested about it and using it to positively impact their life? Listen, this is what I've come to know and understand, that when you do that, the validation that you get by involving other people in that activity far exceeds the enjoyment that you get doing it on your own. I'll give you a case in point. Many of you know I love to hunt. And since I moved up here, I didn't goose hunt before, but since I moved up here, I've learned to goose hunt. And so I have a cousin down south, Florida, Jody. Many of you know he's been here. He spoke to us before. And he and his sons were coming up last year, and he had never shot a goose. And he's like, man, can you take me goose hunting? I said, man, I'd love to take you goose hunting. I'm not that good. I'm still learning, but maybe there's a couple places that I didn't know if we were even going to get a shot, see a goose, didn't know. He was coming up, and they were going to spend some time with him, and I was going to take him and his boys hunt. And I've had an opportunity to take a lot of ducks, a few geese by now. But guess what? You want to know what made me feel better than any shot I've made, anything I've done? Is when I was able to take him and I watched his boy, Jace, 14 years of age, take his first goose. And I saw that boy coming back to the blind with a big smile going from ear to ear. I got more validation out of that than I did my own hunt. I'm saying it works that way. If we could truly understand, it works that way. And if it works that way in a secular sense, why would it not work that way in a spiritual sense? You want to know one of the greatest things that will ground you in the things of God? It is teaching someone else a Bible study. Oh, I didn't get too many amens. But that's the reality of it. The more you get involved in helping someone else, the more it solidifies things in your own spirit. The more you find meaning for yourself, the more you find validation for yourself, and the more you find an intimate walk and relationship with God. The more people that you are involved in reaching for the things of God, I guarantee you, the better off you are in your walk and relationship with God. Without a doubt. Become intimately connected. How? Because common ground is the foundation of deep, intimate relationships. So what do we mean common ground? Common ground, those commonalities that I find with someone else, the common ground that I find. Well, let me ask you this. The greatest common denominator that can exist between me and God is in giving. You ever think about that? The greatest common denominator that can exist between me and God is giving. That's why I stated, and I will continue that, you and I are never more intimately connected to our Savior than when we are giving. Giving of ourselves, because Jesus was the ultimate giver. And you and I become more intimately connected. Why? Because we have more in common. And the more that I focus upward, and he begins to show me that what I'm going through is not just for me, but it's to help someone else. And so I begin to turn outward, and I'm not internally focused anymore, but I'm reaching to someone else, and I am ministering in their life. And guess what's happening? Now, I'm finding inward meaning, and I'm finding a sense of self-worth. Why? Because me and God are finding more common ground, and he is working through me and using me to minister to someone else, and it's validating me, not in some shallow, frivolous thing in life or in this temporal world. It is an eternal thing. If I focus upward and give outward, I find meaning inward. And there is intimate connection downward. It's a cycle. Catch it. It's as I focus upward, and now I'm ministering outward, and now I'm getting validated inward, and now intimacy is coming downward. I'm growing in my walk and relationship with God. Want to know one of the quickest ways to stagnate and begin to backslide in your walk and relationship with God? Let it all be about you. Woo. It's all internally focused. It's all my highs and my lows. It's all my ins and my outs. It's all my trials and tribulations. It's all my troubles. It's all I'm going through. It's all... Careful. Careful. That's where it begins. Because it's all internally focused. Lord, help me. Help me to have focus upward that causes me to reach outward, that causes me to minister in the lives of other people. It will give me meaning. It will give me validation. I'm putting it out there, but I would venture to say, if you were to, and I know this because of what she said numerous times, if you were to take my wife aside and ask her one of the greatest things that has happened in her life, obviously we got kids and all that. I'm talking about one of the greatest senses of self-worth and belonging that she's had. I guarantee you she would probably give you the testimony. were in Costa Rica on a missions trip. The whole youth on missions group, we were all walking to a waterfall to see this waterfall. And she was expecting at the time, so she wasn't, we didn't, you know, want her to walk and, you know, the process began. So she stayed back in the village, and it was poor, poor village. Wife speaks very little Spanish, and so she was trying to communicate with them, and the kids were coming out there, and she was playing with the kids, and the ladies were showing her eyes as they were preparing the meal for all of us when we came back. I'll never forget some of her words that she said to me after that experience. She said, "This day was one of the greatest days of my life." Why were you buying a new house? No. What were you doing? I was just giving time. I was just seeing the needs of other people and doing my best in a smile and in a way, in my feeble way of trying to communicate to them. I their smiles were making all the difference, and it gave me such a sense of self-worth, and it validated me. What are you saying, Pastor? Just this. You and I learn how to turn outward. If you really want to deepen your walk in relationship with God, take the focus off yourself. Look to the needs of others. Start allowing relationship, the focus upward, for you to start turning outward and take action and minister. Serve beyond yourself. Serve and see the needs of others and reach to them where they are. It will give you a sense of meaning. It will give you a sense of self. Or do you want to talk about feeling validated and feeling like you matter? It will give you such an inward intimacy so that you will begin, and you will begin to realize and see things that other people don't see. You'll have a sensitivity in the spirit that other people won't have, because you're willing to give. When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" I don't know what these is. I went and I looked numerous translation after translation, hoping to find some clarity as to what these is. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" I couldn't find it. Every translation. I went to parallel Bible after parallel Bible. I went and I tried to find some, and every one of them I read just said "more than these." There was no explanation as to what these is. These, is he talking about the other disciples? Is he talking about the fish? What is he talking about? What is Jesus referencing when he says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I went into the Greek trying to figure it out. It's just a word that means "than these." Still didn't get anywhere. And I thought, maybe there's a reason for that. Sometimes what the Bible says is in what it doesn't say. Another story for another time. I don't know what "these" is. Because maybe "these" is different for you than it is for me. Maybe whatever "these" is dependent upon who the person is. Maybe "these" was only meant for Simon Peter, and so maybe Jesus motioned, and there is no record of who or what he motioned to in the Bible. We don't know. He just says, "Lovest thou me more than these?" I don't know what your "these" is, and you don't know what my "these" is. The way that I'm going to know that I'm going to love him more than these is, whatever these is if I feed his sheep. In closing, you can stand to your feet. Maybe it was the disciples. The other disciples. Maybe it was the fish. Maybe it was something else on the shore that day that we don't even know. We don't know what these was for Simon on that day. But this I do know. Whatever these is, I'm truly going to love God more than these. I have to feed sheep. Have to focus upward. It causes me to turn and give outward. It gives me meaning, self-worth, inward. And it causes intimacy downward. Lord Jesus, we love you. I thank you for your word, which challenges us, God. Which often, God, reveals the way in which we grow in our walk in relationship with you. Lord, I want to know you more intimately. God, I want to have more of an upward focus, God. Quit concentrating on so much that's just around, God. So much that will give me no fulfillment, no true meaning, no true sense of self-worth, God. And help me look to you, God. I'll focus my attention upon you to ask the question, Lord, how can this be used for your glory? How can this be used to minister to someone else? How can my experiences in my life and what I've gone through and what I've dealt with, God, how can the rejection that I've experienced and how can all these situations, Lord, that I can look back over my life and question why me? Why can I not look to you now and say, Lord, I'm tired of asking that question. I'm tired of asking me or why not me, Lord. I just want to ask, how can it be used for your glory? How can you use these things in my life and what I've dealt with and what I've gone through? How can you use it to minister to someone else? I want to turn it outward. I don't want to keep it inward. I want to turn it outward to minister to someone else. And then thereby, I know I'll have more meaning and more fulfillment in my life. And I'll have a closer walk and relationship with you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. In your precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.